Merry Christmas. Yeah, welcome everybody here and everybody online this morning. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 2 and elsewhere in Scripture today. I just want to start out by saying something that sometimes we maybe just skim over and assume that everybody knows this, but you know, we gather together at Jesus' invitation. We gather together because He draws us together as a people, and He brings us together for a lot of reasons, but part of that is to reveal Himself to us more and more, that we would know Him through His Word, that His Spirit would help us to see Christ in the Word of God and help us to understand ourselves better, our need for Him, and the fact that, man, He loves us. He loves us so much. So today we're going to be talking about joy. We're doing a series, our Christmas series, Great Words of Christmas, and today's word is joy, and subtitled appropriately, it is all about Jesus, because it is. But, you know, sometimes we think of the blessings that Jesus brings with Him, and it's great to think about the love and the peace and the hope and the joy, but we don't want to neglect the fact that it's really, as much as we're the objects of His grace and His love. It's not about us, it's about Him. So it's all about Jesus. But I am excited to bring some good news today. Good news of great joy for us. Does anybody else need some good news of great joy? Amen. I do. I do for sure. 2020 has been a year so far. I know a lot of us have had maybe a little additional challenges. Life on earth is just kind of messy anyway. And I'm part of my own mess, you know. We bring stuff into our own life that's kind of silly. But, you know, life is full of trials and challenges and struggles. And God is so good, He has a purpose in those things. He uses all those ups and downs to reveal to us that we can see His goodness. You know, as we invite Him to come in and abide with us, that we see His goodness in the trials. But anybody feel like they've been through a lot this year? Or maybe just like the last 20 years, you know, Lord willing, I see His goodness in it all, though. You know, I think of my own experience a couple years ago having a stroke, and man, just the goodness of God, and I'm being as real as I can be with you. I know that it sounds like a thing a preacher should say, but it's just true. God has been so good to me through that. In the midst of all the ups and downs and those moments when you feel like the sky is falling and life has kind of fallen apart, God is still so good. He is so good. And we're going to see that today. But maybe in 2020 you have felt like you've really been through it this year. And I think God's got some good news of great joy for us today, if we will receive it, if we'll receive it in faith and believe it, no matter what we've been through. So I want to start out with just some kind of foundational good news. First of all, God made you. If you didn't know that, He is the Creator. He's the one who, before space existed, before time existed, before there was matter, before there was anything, there was God. In the beginning, God. And then He created. So that's good news. There is a God. There is a God who is almighty and sovereign and wise and creative. And He made everything. And He chose deliberately to make you. But not only did He make you, you were the object of His love. He radically loves you more than you can possibly fathom. I think that's part of eternity, is just more and more being blown away that this God would love us and redeem us. And He wants you to know Him. Now, I do have to say this. There's a lot of times we really elevate the love of God, and we should, rightfully so, but the love of God doesn't save us. The love of God doesn't save us. He had to send a payment for our sin because we couldn't pay for our sins. He sent His Son, Jesus, that we celebrate that birth. But He lived a perfect life. He went to that cross for us, taking our sin upon Himself. And He did that for us because God's justice needed to be satisfied for our sins, that His love and mercy was being expressed in that. And He wants us to receive that, to believe that, to receive it in faith, because in receiving that, we can be forgiven of all of our sins, and we can have new life, and we can experience what He wants for us. We can have a personal relationship. It's not a religious thing. It's not a moral thing. It's a person. God is a person. And he wants you to know his person, to have a relationship with him. And part of that relationship is joy. Supernatural joy. I'm not talking about happiness. Happiness is fleeting. Happiness comes and goes. Happiness is when they make the pizza really good at Tark's and they put a few extra toppings, you know, or wherever you go. You know, that's happiness, but that's fleeting. You know, 20 minutes later, there's a regret because I ate too much. But we're talking about joy this morning. Joy that goes beyond anything that that we could ask or imagine. So, first of all, I would just like to say that it's probably a healthy thing that I am reminded often that even though I'm an object of God's love, and even though he has went through incredible measures to have a relationship with me, I do fall short in my walk with him. You know, there's times that, you know, where we feel still broken, and, you know, if we were a vase, we'd be a cracked pot. You know, we still fall short, and we're like, man, I just, sometimes, as much as I know that's true, because the Word of God says that he loves us in this way, that he sent his son to die for us, but I still, there's times that we struggle in our flesh because we just think, how can he? It's like, I don't love me today. How can he love me today? You know, he's holy and perfect and awesome. And man, there's just days that I am so much of a messy kid. You know, he loves me. He brings us into his family. He loves you. He wants you to be a son or daughter, but we're still messy. And yet he loves us. Yet he loves us still. I was thinking about that, and I thought, you know, what if there was a $100 bill in my pocket? There's not, I'm sorry. But what if there was? And I could pull out that $100 bill, and I could say, who would like a $100 bill this morning? Woo-hoo. So go ahead, raise your hands. Anybody want a $100 bill? We can do a hypothetical receiving of the $100 bill. So, yeah, right on. You know, maybe five or six of them. Yeah, that would be really cool. But what if we took that $100 bill and we just crumpled it up. Now it's all wrinkly. It's not crispy anymore. It's wrinkly. And what if we threw it on the ground and people are just walking by and they're stepping on it, and I pick it up and I've been working on my car or something. I've got grease in my hands, and that, man, it's stained now. I've got stains on it. It's just a mess. Anybody still want a $100 bill? Yep. Yeah, amen. Yeah, the value, see that $100 bill, if it could think, it might think, you know, I'm such a mess, I'm so unworthy, but it still has value. It's still worth something. And as objects of God's redemptive act on that cross, we have value. And we know we're not perfect. We know we've got smudges and stains, but we still have value because of Christ, because of his desire for us. This has been a year where 2020, a lot of unmet expectations, a lot of things brought in, hardships that we never anticipated, a lot of busyness, a lot of stress, and there's just times we're not at our best. I want to say to you this morning, we know we're not perfect, and sometimes we do the really foolish thing. And instead of running to Christ, instead of running to the one who we desperately need, the one who we need to abide in every day, the one that life is found in, instead of running to him, we just try to escape the mess. You know, we run to technology, we run to video games or to Facebook, we run to alcohol, we run to weed, we run to pornography, we run to shopping, we run to Tark's Pizza again and again. We run to death, we run to darkness, we run to things that really just can't help at all, other than it distracts us for a little while. And then we're still in the same mess we were in. I was thinking about that, and I thought, you know, not only do we do that, but there are forces that encourage that. You know, Satan wants you and me to run to things that don't help. He wants to deceive us and for us to just run to things that, like, it's like a band-aid on cancer. I mean, it can't do anything to help us. And I thought about that. I thought, you know, Satan is kind of like a wicked stepmother. Cinderella. You guys are familiar with Cinderella? Kim and I have grandkids. Our granddaughter Arwen is really just all about Cinderella right now. She loves watching Cinderella. And I thought about the way that stepmother treats Cinderella. Now, Cinderella has value. She is a great human being, but the stepmother treats her like she's a slave. She's not a slave. She's a free person. But the stepmother is giving this impression in the way she treats her and the way her daughters are also treated, kind of like Satan and your accusing sin nature and the world are just ganging up on you to tell you somebody that you're not. You're an object of God's love. You're meant for freedom in Christ Jesus. You're meant to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and to glorify Him. And yet we listen to wrong voices that tell us, no, you're not worthy. You're just a mess. That's a lie. And when we listen to that lie, sometimes we run to the wrong things that reinforce the lie instead of running to the one who is the embodiment of truth, Jesus Christ, and running to His Word. The good news of great joy for all us Cinderellas, the Prince has come. The Prince has come, the Prince of Peace, and He has come because He loves you and He wants you to experience identity in Him. Not based on how other people treat you or what you think of you or even your sin, which is very real, but based on who He is, that you are in relationship with Him. And not only that, but you know, when you leave this life, if you are in Christ Jesus, if you are born again, you put your trust in Him, He's going to take you to His castle. Happily ever after, for eternity. Isn't that awesome? That's a promise that awaits us. And the neat thing is it's not even a made-up story. It's true. It's based on the Word of God. It is good news. It's real. Well, this morning, starting in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, the Word of God tells us, in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there was born to you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased." Well, this morning in the Word of God, we're going to recognize 8 things about this great, great news. Good news of great joy today. And the first thing we're going to recognize is that it is good news of great joy because you can't earn it. There is good news of great joy because you can't earn it. Some translations say, on earth, peace among men of goodwill. What that really means is peace with God among men who are in the will of God. That for those who are recipients of salvation and life in God's plan, those who are adopted as sons and daughters are in the will of God. So what is the will of God? You know, we talk about that a lot. I think that's probably one of the questions I hear the most from people. Pastor, what's God's will for my life? And He does have specific will, but He also has a broader will. Should I take this job? Should I move to this town? Should I marry this person? Should I go on this diet? It's good to take everything to the Lord. You know, big or small, He wants us to take everything to Him, but the will of God, the bigger will of God here. In John 6, starting in verse 27, the Bible says, "Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, will give you. For on Him, on the Son, the Father God has set His seal. He is the Christ. He is the anointed one. Therefore, they said to Him, 'What shall we do, Jesus? What shall we do that we may do the works of God?'" What are we supposed to do, Jesus? How can we be in the will of God? That sounds great. How can we do that? How can we work it out? In Christian circles and churches, we answer that a lot of different ways. Well, you need to have these spiritual disciplines. It's a good thing. God wants us to have times of prayer, serious study of His Word, times of fellowship, times of serving, times of worship. You know, among our more charismatic brothers and sisters, they might say, well, you need to be in the will of God, man. You need to be speaking in tongues. There needs to be some healing going on if you're going to be in God's will. Among our more academic brothers and sisters, we might say, oh, well, you need to study God's Word and get some certifications, and you need to get some diplomas, and you need to show that you are really knowledgeable in God's will and have these degrees. In a lot of churches these days, we might say, well, you need to fill the pews. If you want to put a smile on God's face and be in the will of God, man, there's got to be a lot of butts sitting in those pews. Those things are good, or can be. But God tells us the main thing. Verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him who He has sent." Genuine faith, genuine trust, living, walking by faith, actionable faith. This is the will of God. The good news of great joy is that inclination that you have and that I have to think, I just have to get my act together and then God will accept me. No, never going to happen. If you are waiting for that day when you feel like you're worthy of God's grace, it's just not going to happen. God doesn't tell us, get out and do some good works so that it outweighs your bad works. He says, no, the good news of great joy is I've sent a Savior because you needed it. If Jesus just came as a great example, as some people think, some people say, oh, you know, He's just a great moral teacher and I'm just going to follow His example. Well, guess what? He was sinless. Anybody else think you're going to be sinless following His example? You're going to fail. He's a Savior because we're sinners. And that is good news. That is good news. If you trust in Christ, He's the way to the Father. Regardless of the mess in your life, regardless of what you've been going through, He will come into your life and the darkness starts fleeting and the light starts coming in. And yes, it's still messy and it's still difficult. But man, when you've got the presence of Jesus, when the Spirit of God is with you, there's beauty in the midst of all the mess. That is wonderful news. Don't let your ego trip you up. We think, oh, I just need to try harder. Take Him seriously, and as much as His Spirit enables you, forsake death and sin. But your acceptance is based on what He did on that cross. It's the blood of Christ. That is great news. You didn't initiate it, you didn't earn it, and you can't blow it. If your faith is in Him and what He did, if that's where your salvation is, you've got a joy that is from Him, and the world cannot take it from you. Amen. That is good news. I feel inadequate every day, and yet I'm accepted by Him every day because of who He is. Because of who He is. It is an awesome, beautiful, simple truth. Our next thing to recognize is that there is good news of great joy about God in the gospel. There is good news of great joy about God in the gospel. Part of the message of the Bible, and if you don't know, gospel means good news. Part of the message of the Bible and the gospel message, the good news about Jesus, really the message of Christmas, is that God is a living, personal God. He's not some abstract force. He is not far removed from you. He's near. He is near. He's with us. And He comes to us. to those who have been far from him their whole life, if they just acknowledge their need, if they just humble themselves and say, God, your word says that I'm a sinner and I agree with you. And you tell me I need a Savior and I agree with you. And you tell me that you're a living God that loves me and that I am covered by your blood, I'm covered by your grace and your mercy. If I just simply trust in your payment for my sins, Lord, he is a living God who's present with us. In his birth, that we celebrate, Jesus came and declared to us not only the love of God, but the presence of God, that he is a living God who is with his people. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is God with us. And he's here to help. Verse 10, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born to you a Savior. The Messiah has come. He is Christ the Lord. The next thing to recognize this morning is that the good news of great joy is for all people. For all people. Sometimes we put a little asterisk, a little disclaimer there. It's for everybody, but man, it can't be for that guy. Or those people. All means all. And that's all that all means. It's for all people. The good news of great joy is for all people. The good news of great joy that a Savior has been born for all sinners. For all of us. That salvation, that Savior, that relationship with God, that life that he gives is for everybody. It's available to everybody. It doesn't matter what you've done in your life. It doesn't matter what you think of you. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It's for everybody. Forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus for everybody. And that's universal. Who doesn't need forgiven? We all do. All people need a Savior. We also need to recognize this morning that in Jesus Christ, there is good news of great joy regarding forgiveness of sin. There is good news of great joy in Jesus regarding the forgiveness of sin. See, you can find some help in different places. You know, if you've got some emotional scars, if you've got some, some of us have physical health issues, some of us have mental health issues. And it's not a shameful thing to go to a good doctor that can help you with that. It's not a shameful, there's nothing wrong with going to somebody that God has equipped with some wisdom to help you. Or to receive a medication that God has given wisdom to scientists to develop. And that's fine, and that's good, but it can't save you. There's no forgiveness there for that. You can go to Oprah. I think I heard an Oprah reference earlier this morning. You get a car. I'm sorry, that's not the good news this morning. We're not giving out cars. And I'm not putting Oprah down. Jesus went to that cross for Oprah too. But you can go to Oprah. You can listen to so-and-so on TV that they might be able to help you have a moment of being uplifted. They might be able to help you in some way, even with dealing with some issues, give you some strategies for living that are beneficial for you in some way. Only Jesus can offer forgiveness of sins. Only Jesus. That is good news. God's word declares it, and we see it in the Christmas story. Jesus is the Savior. He is the Savior. He is the Christ. He's the Lord. I've got a lot of friends who are in recovery for some different things, some different addictions in their life. Praise God for that. You know, a lot of you guys know I had many years before coming to Christ. And let me just say this right off. We're all born sin addicts. So if you've got kind of a hang-up with somebody because they're addicted to this substance or that substance, guess what? Sin works its way out in many ways, but we're all born sin addicts. Okay? So we're all in the same boat. But there's a lot of folks that I know who, I'm happy that they're in recovery, and I'm happy they go to 12-step programs. But in the 12-step programs, a lot of them will tell you about a higher power. And they say, well, you just get a hold of your own higher power, whatever that is. And I want to tell you today, if you don't know it, there's one higher power, and his name is Jesus. Okay, there's no other higher power that can forgive your sin and set you free from sin, give you his spirit in you so that you can have victory over sin. Not only forgiven, but free. That may be a battle. Sometimes he does a miracle. He did a miracle for me. He said, boom, you are free. And I walked away from years of substance abuse. There's times I cry for some of my friends that they have to battle it each day. But there is freedom in Christ. There is freedom. Jesus is the only way. He's the only way. He's not a higher power to pick from. He's the only way to the Father. He's the only higher power. He's the only Savior. He's the only propitiation for sins. He's the only one who could take your sin upon himself to that cross and pay for it with his blood. And makes it simple. He just said, will you trust me for that? Will you just believe me for that? He's the only way. Today we need to recognize also that in Jesus Christ, there is good news of great joy regarding new life. New life. I am so grateful. I am so grateful that he came and paid for my sins. I am so grateful that he washed that away and he said, when you trust in me, son, I give you my righteousness. That's how my Father sees you now. I'm so grateful for that. But not only is there that payment for all the death and sin in me, but there is life. He gives his spirit. He gives us new life. That is great news. That's good news for daily living. And that is good. That's a promise for all of eternity. See, another universal thing about humanity, not only are we all born sin addicts, but we're also terrified of death. Before coming to Christ, people for centuries in every culture, in every country, for thousands of years, the great enemy that united us all is we're all going to die, and we don't like it. It's an enemy who's waiting around the corner, and we don't know when he's going to pounce on us, but he's coming. It's inescapable, and we lived in fear of that, and humanity was terrorized by that. Jesus came that fear could be vanquished forever. That enemy could be defeated for all of eternity. And he says, I give you myself. I give you life. You don't have to live in fear anymore. You don't have to live in fear anymore. The Apostle John wrote in chapter 1, verse 4 of John, in him, in Jesus Christ was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus said, recorded in John 10, starting in verse 9, he said, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. Saved from sin, saved from death, saved from themselves. They will be saved, and they will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd is the one who has laid down his life for the sheep. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. That's why death came. We earned it. We earned it collectively. A world full of sin. And the price is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The free gift of God. No hoops to jump through. Trusting in Christ. Receiving eternal life. You don't have to live in fear anymore. It is a promise. There is coming a day for all of us, whether it's in the rapture or whether it's a stroke or corona. We're all leaving this world. And when we do, there's going to be a moment where it's like the curtain is opened. Reality of this world, all this time and space and matter and everything we've known, everything that's been in front of us, is that curtain's going to open up and we're going to see into eternity. And Jesus says, if you trust in me, when that curtain opens, you're going to see me. You're going to see life. You're going to see joy. You're going to see peace. You're going to see love. You're going to see my glory, my presence. You're going to see the home I prepared for you. It's something to look forward to. It's something to rejoice in. Paul said it's needful for you that I stay with you to help you along the way and show you how to live in Christ. It's a good thing for you, but he said, far better for me would be to go and be with him. Death's no longer an enemy when you're in Christ. We also need to recognize that the joy that we have in Christ, the good news of great joy of a Savior, is a shared joy. It's a shared joy. In Jesus Christ, there is good news of great joy that we belong not only to God, we belong to a family. We belong to a family. The church is the family of God. And I know it can be tough because we sometimes walk with our sight and not by faith. And we can't see everybody's hearts, and our hearts are deceitful sometimes. God knows who his family is, but we have a family. We have a family. We have brothers and sisters. And that is part of God's provision for us. I mean, think of the times that you have been in the midst of a struggle and you've got a phone call and somebody would just let you spill your heart out. You know, a sister in Christ or a brother, and you could just share the struggle, what you're going through, and they just say, you know, can I pray for you? Can I pray with you now? Family is such a beautiful thing. It's God's idea. And that's part of the joy that we have in Christ Jesus, is having this family that, you know, God saves us individually. In America, we're radically individual sometimes. And he saves us individually. Your grandparents being a Christian doesn't make you a Christian. Your spouse being a Christian doesn't make you born again. He saves us. You personally have to come to him in honesty, saying, I'm ready to leave the sin. I'm ready to leave the death. I'm ready to leave the darkness, Jesus, and trust in you and follow you. You've got to be willing to personally do that. But then you are part of family. There is no solo, lone ranger, I'm just going to do my own thing with Jesus and forget about my family. He gave you family for a reason. And not only do you have that family, but you're responsible to be family to somebody else. So we need to receive that good news of great joy that we have fellowship. We've got love. We have encouragement. We've got truth, sometimes hard truth, that we need to hear, that we need a family member to say to us. But we all go through loneliness. We all go through discouragement sometimes, and we need to invite family to be family. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build up one another just as you are doing. I want to commend you today that we are family. We do encourage one another. We do reach out and pray for one another. We do take each other to the scriptures and remind each other of the truth. We keep reminding each other of who we are in Christ Jesus, that your identity is in him. It's not in the sin. Listen to the right voice. We remind each other of those things. And Paul said to the Thessalonians, and I say it today, and you say it, I hope, to each other, let's continue to encourage each other just as we are doing. Let's keep building each other up in the faith. Let's keep reminding each other that in Christ Jesus, we're his family. We also need to recognize that in Jesus Christ, there is good news of great joy regarding help. There is good news of great joy regarding help. One of the ways I love to just make myself available, and a lot of you guys do this, but make myself available to be the hands and feet of Christ in some way. When we go out to eat, a lot of times Kim or I will ask the people working there, how can we pray for you? How can we pray for you? You know why that's a good question? Because we all need help. All of us. We're all dealing with, whether it's our own mess that we brought on ourselves or just the mess of living in a fallen world, we all need help. And part of the great news is Jesus has provided it. He provides help for us. Sometimes that help is supernatural. Sometimes it's just coming to Him and saying, Lord, you're right about me. You've called me to do this thing that I'm not sufficient for at all, and I need your help. And the Holy Spirit says, I'm here. You got it. You got the help you need. Paul said, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. I can do all things. I need to hear that so often, and we quote this verse a lot, and I need to hear this verse a lot. Because there's a lot of things that He calls me to do that I can't do. I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through His abiding Spirit. I can do all things through Christ. He's the one who I'm bringing my weakness, and He's given me strength. I'm bringing my sin. He's bringing grace. He's bringing all the help I need supernaturally. But it continues in verse 14. Nevertheless, you've done well to share with me in my affliction. Paul, talking to the Philippians, he was saying, listen, part of God's help, yes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have His Spirit, but part of His provision is you. You, vessel of the Holy Spirit, you, brother and sister in Christ, part of His provision is you, and not that you're going to fix me or fix my problems, but you're going to be there in my affliction. See, part of the help, we think help means Jesus make everything okay the way I want it to go. Guess what, folks? It's not always my will be done. Right? Sometimes His will is, I'm going to conform you more into my image by letting you go through something you don't want to go through. But there's help. And sometimes that help is just somebody who will let you be real and say, I don't want to go through this. So that you can say, I'm with you. I'm with you. You're not going through it alone. It's hard, but there's help. In the midst of your affliction, I can't fix it, but I can love you. There's help. Just that fellowship of a brother or sister saying in your suffering, you're not alone. Christ has sent me. And when I'm suffering, you come, and I'm not alone. But ultimately, it is God Himself who is our help. Every day. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling place of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she will not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. The nations make an uproar. The kingdoms have tottered, but God raises His voice. No matter how much raging the nations do, no matter all the chaos, and no matter the forces of this world trying to exert their will, God is sovereign. The Lord of hosts is with us. the God who is supreme over all the mess, all the chaos of the world, the God of Jacob is our stronghold. It is God himself that is with us, Emmanuel. Good news. He is with us in the midst of nations raging and roaring and the chaos of life. He's with us. Another way that God helps us, and usually this comes through being in his word. So if you're looking for help, I want to encourage you, open that Bible, because it's there. It's there. That's part of his purpose. And what he'll do as we read his word and we see more clearly who Christ is, he gives us his perspective. And that's exactly what we need. Because my perspective, apart from him, is not good. We live life at ground level. We're in the midst of mess that seems huge to us, of obstacles that seem immovable to us. You know, I was thinking about that, and I thought about being in New York City. When Kim and I got married, part of our honeymoon, we went to Manhattan. And I'd never been there before. I'd never seen something like that. I don't know if you guys have been, anybody else been to New York? It was amazing. I mean, just millions of people, and I don't know how many hundreds or thousands of skyscrapers, and we were in the heart of that. Like the Rockefeller Center and all that stuff, and Times Square and all those things, and I was just like, wow, this is something. Maybe kind of like the apostles were with Jesus looking at the temple, like, wow, Jesus, this is really something. And I was like, wow. You know, you look, I've never experienced where you look up in the sky and all you could see was just a little bit of the sky, because it was just like 40 stories of these huge high rises everywhere. And I thought about my life. I thought about the moments where I feel overwhelmed. I thought about the times where I've had so many things in my life, and I'll just tell you, most of them I brought upon myself, where there's just been these consequences, sin strongholds, all these problems that in my flesh I couldn't deal with, and to me it's like a skyscraper. It's like it's a block wide and it's a mile high, and I'm like, Jesus, how does this ever get removed? How do I get around this thing? I've also flown in aircraft 4 or 5 miles up. You know what those massive immovable buildings look like from 4 or 5 miles up? Like little Monopoly homes. You know, like they're like a toothpick, like nothing. That's God's perspective, because to him, that's exactly what they are. We read the Word of God and we find help in the Word of God because we see a God who is almighty and wise and purposeful. And he says, you know what? In my timing, I can take that and just move it right out of the way. But if I leave it, it's okay. It's okay. Don't be afraid of that. Don't be intimidated by it. I'm your help. I'm your help. And from his perspective, when you have his perspective, you don't have to worry about whether you can remove those things or not. He can do it. That thing you've been trying to get out of your life for 10 years, he can move it. He can move it. That thing that you think, you know, I know he's forgiven me for all those things that I can forgive me for, but I can't even forgive me of that. You know what? He can forgive you of it. He's so much bigger and greater. His sacrifice, his blood is so much greater. He's mightier. Even just those little problems in your life, those little things, he's got a purpose in it, a goodness in it, a presence in it. But they really are nothing to him. I mean, he can move those things. He cares for you. He weeps over your weeping. He knows your tears, but those mountains are not immovable. One last thing to recognize today. In Jesus Christ, there is good news of great joy concerning a precious home at the end of our life in this world. That's good news. For a lot of reasons. That's such good news. His Spirit is with us, but man, I want to be in that place and see Him face to face. And I want to see my loved ones who are there. At the end of this life, He's got a place that He's preparing for us that's better than anything we can imagine. I don't know that I even talk about heaven that much because I just feel silly sometimes because I think it's going to be so much more awesome than any of my words. And He calls on us to receive Him and to trust in Him and to be born again so that we can accept that gift of eternal life with Him, that home. There's a book, The Magician's Nephew, from C.S. Lewis. Any other C.S. Lewis fans? Okay, everybody else, start reading C.S. Lewis. Chronicles of Narnia. There's so much, such diversity in his writing. Some of it's like heady theological stuff. Some of it is just like down to earth in your pain stuff. Some of it's like fantasy cool things that are created. He was just a gifted man of God. In this book, The Magician's Nephew, it's talking about this place called Narnia. And how Narnia came into being. And the last chapter in this book has like the coolest, one of the coolest names of any last chapter of a book that I've ever read. The last chapter of The Magician's Nephew is called The End of This Story, which I think that's a really great name for a last chapter in a book, The End of This Story. But there's more. It's also called The Beginning of All Others. The end of this story and the beginning of all others. And I thought, you know, what a great title for our time in this world. When we leave, if we have trusted in Christ and we have that excitement that He's got a home for me. And when this life is over, all it is the end of this story. But it's the beginning of eternity. It's the beginning of story after story after story of newness of life forever and ever with Him. A continual newness of life, a continual new chapter, over and over again. In being born in that manger, God the Father has given us the best gift. I'm probably not really good at this, but I like to buy gifts for my wife. I probably, like, don't listen to the clues enough and get what she really wants. But you know, God the Father gave us the best Christmas gift ever in the birth of His Son. The best gift possible. And it's only natural. You know, the Bible says we love because He first loved us. We can love Him back. It's only natural when you receive this great gift, when you, or even know about it. You hear about God's got this great gift that you can receive His Son. The best Christmas gift ever. You know what He wants back? You. You. And He doesn't really want anything else. He doesn't. He just says, just give me you. Give me your heart. Give me you. So if you want to get a great Christmas gift this year, put your faith in Jesus. Receive the best gift ever given. And if you want to give the only gift He's really interested in, give Him yourself. Just give Him you. Don't worry about cleaning the gift up. He'll do that. You just give Him you. His power will overcome all your weakness. His blood will cover all your sin. Good news of great joy. A Savior's come. In verse 15 here in Luke 2, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry And they found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they'd seen this, they made known the statement which had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at these things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they'd heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. I think we'll end there. I'm going to pray for us. Worship team, if you'd like to come back up, we'll worship and celebrate again. Heavenly Father, Lord, how right it is that we would wonder and marvel at this good news of great joy. What a treasure. What a gift. Oh Lord, help us to adore Him. Help us to worship and love You back. Give us the faith, Lord, to receive all that we have heard of You today. Lord Jesus, thank You for good news of great joy that You have come as a Savior to save sinners, Lord. And thank You for the promise that as we receive You, as we invite You in, as You become Lord of our lives, even though it may feel like we've been in a season where life has just been falling apart, that You're actually working in all those things to bring us to You, that You're working in our weaknesses, in our tiredness, in our brokenness for our good, Lord, that we would come to You and know real life. Help us to know, Lord, that even if it feels like things are falling apart, that it's really falling into place for us to have the life with You that You want us to have. Lord Jesus, we pray for the gift of salvation today. Lord, we pray for anyone who has not come to that place of really, maybe they've never understood what Christmas was about before today. Maybe they've never understood that it's about the Son of God coming here to live a perfect life and to die in our place, that we can put our trust in Him and receive life, and that You are pleased with that, that You are glorified in that, Lord. And it's good news. It's good news. It's not complicated. It's not a religious thing. You just say, receive Me. Just believe. Come to Me, all you who are weary. Receive Me and I will give you rest. I will give you joy. A joy that the world can't take away because they didn't give it. Come, Lord Jesus. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.